You damn right. Hopefully you're having a good Friday. Has your weekend begun? Has it already started for a whole bunch of folks out at the Mullet Open? It has already started. And hopefully they are hydrating up out at the Mullet Open. I do see a few clouds out there. We got a little bit of the Simpsons opening outside here on 360. The Mullet Open is going on today, and that is why you're not hearing Trey Elling's voice right now. Trey Elling is a part of the Mullet Open. He is the D player. We discussed the important elements of being the D player yesterday. Keep up with Mulligans. If no one else is, sink a putt. You'll be a hero. Minimum, you need to be putting first on every green to give the better players a read. And if you can, make sure everybody's got drinks. Make sure everybody's, see if everybody's having a good time. Tell a joke if you can. And for Trey, you also need to add, use real human emotions. Because with Trey, you might think, wait a minute, is this our D player or did they put some kind of android out here with us for the Mullet Open? So Trey is not here today. I'm Chad Hastings. I am here for you today on a Friday. Going to hopefully have some good conversations with a couple different people today in Trey's place. And you will obviously have a spot on the show today because Trey is not here when that happens. That also frees up the text line a little more. I got a couple of topic starters for you today in a very good mood because of where college football thinks it's headed, and we'll get into some of that. Also want to thank John Reichel for being here today. He's going to produce the show, and he has a musical game for me today, which I'm very excited about. I've never played this game before. It's an old-school music-feel game. We're going to play A's and B's today, right?
That's right. Yes, sir.
You're going to play the B-side single, the B-side of a single, I should say, and I have to name the artist, but I also have to tell you my guess for what was the A-side.
That's right.
All right. It's going to be interesting because I did not grow up in the era of that. I mean, I had 45s around me. I don't remember buying a lot of them. I don't remember having a lot of that A-side, B-side situation. I didn't buy cassette singles either. I wasn't that guy, so this will be probably more educational for me than anything else, but I'm looking forward to that. Little side A, side B. How are we doing today, John? You good?
Doing good. Another day in paradise.
All right. And John was producing for the Light the Tower guys. Great to hear Keith Moreland on today. And that'll sort of continue a trend. I've been hearing a lot of good baseball conversation the last couple days as Texas gets ready for the Super Regional. Always love hearing Keith Moreland talk baseball, and I'm going to talk to two more guys today that I love talking college baseball with because they know about 100 times more about it than I do. First up at 12:30 is Kevin Dunn, my former broadcast partner. We did a show together for 10 years, and I love listening to him talk Texas baseball, get his thoughts on that. I do want to get his thoughts on the expanded college playoff because I think there's some parts he'll like, but I know there's parts that he's concerned about, so I want to get his thoughts on that. Coming up at 1, Dustin McComas, another one of the guys I love to hear talk college baseball. Dustin of OrangeBloods.com, soon to be of Five Tool. That's right. Dustin McComas is leaving Orange Bloods, and I just knew if that was going to happen, it was going to have to be a hardcore baseball kind of job, and it is. We'll have Dustin tell you more about what Five Tool does at 1 o'clock. Also in the show today, at 2 o'clock, the one and only Bucky Godbolt is going to come on and talk some Mullet Open. I said, Bucky, let's have somebody on from the tournament at 2 o'clock. Whatever you want. You want a sponsor, you want a key player, Tom McKay from AV Consultation, whoever you want. And he's decided that he looked at the schedule, he's assessed everybody that's out there, and he realized, oh, wait a minute, at 2 o'clock, everyone's either going to be on the course or asleep, possibly napping, resting something off, you know, sleeping it off. So we'll have Bucky on at 2 and get the update on the Mullet Open. This is the 20th Mullet Open, technically the 21st year. If you've been listening to the mornings, you've heard the guys talk about that. But the 20th tournament, everybody just held their positions from last year when they didn't get to have it. And Bucky's been doing this tournament for 20 years now, benefiting some incredible causes and, you know, raising some money for just some really cool causes. So we'll get him to tell you more about that at 2 o'clock. So before I jump in officially, since Trey's not here today, I need to do one of Trey's least favorite things in the world that I do, which is the shout out. That's right. He can't stand it when I do shout outs. So let's do some shout outs. First off, we'll do some birthday shout outs. Number one today is a happy birthday today. It is a double nickel for my man, Bruce Robison. That's right. One of my favorite musicians of all time. And it brings up this question today. Give me a band or artist that you found out about, that you discovered because of Austin. Austin, Texas is why you are a fan of this particular band or artist. Without Austin, I don't know that I would have ever known. Maybe at some point it would have come by my view, but something about Austin is what got me to Bruce Robison. It was a Tower Records in-store, followed by the Cactus Cafe show, and I was just hooked. So let me know the band or artist that you discovered because of the city of Austin. Happy birthday to Bruce today. And for tomorrow, don't you think I let this one get by me, Mr. WSM, Mr. World's Strongest Man, the legendary Mark Henry. Let's just say he's going to hit a round number tomorrow. I'm not sure if I should say it out loud because he might come to the studio, rip that door off its hinges, and then try to throw me out this window. But you could probably do the math. The man is famous. All you have to do is Google his name, and his Wikipedia page will pop up. Mark Henry has a big birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday to the World's Strongest Man. Glad Mark Henry is doing well. He was just recently on the podcast with Stu. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Mark is making a transition from WWE to AEW, and I hope that is going very, very well. My other shout out before I get started is for all of you, all the fans out there. In our business, there is a certain amount of ego. Sometimes there's way too much ego, and if that's what this is about to be, I apologize. But my OCD does remember stupid dates. June 14th is coming up Monday. I'm on vacation next week, but this June 14th will be 22 years that I consider me as a radio person because it's when I got the job. I was an intern before that. I got a little bit of a gig, but in terms of being like where I felt like, okay, I'm being paid for this now, and I think I'm going to be able to do it. It really was June 14th, 1999, coming back to Austin for me. So 22 years. So I want to thank the listeners out there because I technically should not have this job. I should not have been able to do it this long considering who I am, where I went to school. But thank God Austin's a weird place. And thank you for allowing me to be me. And you accept it. A lot of you, at least enough of you accept it that I have not been thrown off the air yet. So thank you for that. And hopefully you will enjoy this show just like maybe you enjoy other stuff on the station. Thank you for supporting our station, our show, shows, all of our guys, hornfm.com, if you miss anything. All right, so shout outs out of the way. I'm sure Trey would have loved that. Good thing he's on a golf course, probably hammered out of his mind trying to sink a putt. But I did want to start today with a little more of the playoff talk. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this 12-team playoff idea. And I've already seen people today breaking it down, go back in time and looking at different years and what would it have meant and who would have been in the playoff and all of those kinds of things. So the one blinking light I have on this thing is when they say the top six conference champions are going to get in. The top six ranked conference champions. I get a little bit of a shiver when I think about it, because as I go back looking through the years, I went just back through the CFP years, 2014 to now. There are 1, 2, 3 years where the group of five would have not had anybody in the top 12. So are they telling me that they're going to force feed one? That they're going to go with the Power Five conference champions in those cases? Because in those years, every one of the Power Fives would have been represented by at least one team. We can assume it's the champion in that case. Like ACC in 2019, we all know who that was. That was Clemson. So my question would be, are you going to go five Power Five conference champions? And then because you said you have to have six, what, you're going to have like UCF? Who just happened to win the AAC, but maybe they're not top 12? That would be concerning. That would be a little concerning to me because now you're taking a spot from a better team. Right now, that's my only concern. I like the idea that winning your conference championship doesn't necessarily get you in, but I also don't want it to be the reason that gets you in if you're in a mid-major. So that's a little bit of a concern for me. But I love this 12-team idea, and I went back and was looking at some different matchups that might have happened, different teams that might have been in. Here's some ways to think about this thing. In all the years, I went all the way back to 2014, like I said. In some years, SEC had four teams in. I know that's what a lot of people outside the SEC would worry about. Oh, there's going to be too many teams in. But in 2016, there'd have been one, Alabama. In 2015, two teams from the SEC. In 2016, there'd have been four teams from the Big Ten to get in. There would be no year where it's more than four teams in any given conference. I kind of like that. Plus, here's another thing I like. One of the arguments people will make against it is the regular season gets affected. I heard Reese Davis do it. It's like this automatic thing everybody wants to go to. The worst, I think, was, what was my man's name back in the day that used to get on this all the time? John Saunders. John Saunders on ESPN would run his mouth about, we've got to keep the integrity of the regular season. The regular season would mean nothing. And it just so happens that in 2019, there were four. Who's on the horn? What's that? Who?
Oh, we got a audiovisual.
Oh, okay. All right. Hang on. Hold on, Tom. One point, and I'll get to you. So in 2019, there would have been four SEC teams in the playoff, but Bama would not have been one. Do you know why? Because Bama played a team late in the season, and they lost by three. That team is Auburn. They played the Iron Bowl. They lost it 48-45, and it kicked them to the number 13-seeded team in the country. So did the Iron Bowl matter? Sometimes I have trouble following things. This argument that the regular season will mean less. Reese Davis tried to play it wouldn't be the win at all cost. It wouldn't be the winner's in, everything's up for grabs, LSU Alabama game. Yeah, it would. What would change about it? We already know that if they're undefeated, the loser of that game's not out. Now we would just know they're really not out. So what? But the winner gets big advantages. The winner could get a bye, the winner gets a better record. Come on. So just one example of how the regular season wouldn't have been hurt very much. Plus, we would make regular season games that matter all over the country if you add more teams. So I'll get you some more of those things that would have happened, some matchups that would have happened, teams that would have been in playoffs. It's going to be so good. I really hope we are a week or so away from figuring this out. All right, so apparently, I guess maybe Tom McKay's not asleep. I think Bucky theorized that he would be asleep at this point, or maybe asleep at 2 o'clock. I'm not sure which one. Tom McKay, audiovisual consultations. Are you out at this tournament? What's going on?
Actually, I had to leave the tournament for a little while to go to a meeting. I'm going to head back out.
But, okay.
I was kind of hoping you guys were all going to be out there this afternoon. That would have been cool. But anyways, wanted to just, on this point that you're making, because it's really good, really good. And I'm behind you 100% with one exception.
Okay.
The winner of the, let's say, Sun Belt Conference is the 15th ranked team, and it's the top ranked team of the six. So he gets in. And it knocks somebody out that was, say, the number 12 seed if they were going 1 through 12.
Yeah.
Well, first off, be better than number 12.
Right. I agree with you there. That one bothers me too, Tom. I don't like that idea. If you're not top 12, I don't care what conference you won, you can't be in.
Right. And then the other one, though, is, you know, they say that somebody's going to get in that shouldn't get in because it's going to take somebody out that isn't. Well, it doesn't – I mean, to have a just something where everybody can kind of get a little bit of glory isn't such a horrible thing. I mean, look at – this is a prime example was this year, Southern playing at UT. There is no chance in the world that they should have been in that tournament. Everybody knows it, but nobody complained because they won a conference championship.
Yep.
So, and everybody got to say, hey, look, Southern made it on TV. Now maybe they'll actually get a recruit they couldn't get before. Some really cool things could happen for them because of that. And that's what I see as a good thing with somebody getting into the football one as well. I mean, you know, UCF, yeah, they've been up there for years, though, as far as playing pretty well now for 2-3 years. So they get in. Okay, fine. I mean, who didn't get in? Auburn. Who gives a darn, you know?
Right. No, I agree with you, Tom. I think that hopefully they will tweak that a little bit because, I don't want to – I want the best teams. We want the best teams in.
I did see one stat, though, that BK pointed out this morning on the radio, and we were sitting there, and it really kind of took me they pointed out that in the last 10 years, UT wouldn't have got in even with the top 12.
Correct. Yeah, now that's a whole separate issue that Texas has to deal with. But you're right. Yes.
They got to change that right now.
Absolutely. You are right. All right, so you're heading back out there later. Now, so you're not golfing today, right? You're just hanging out there?
Dude, I make Trey look good.
Oh, wow. Okay, that says it all. All right, so you're just out there for the good time. That's a smart move.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, if people could come by, I bought raffle tickets because Bucky stocks this thing up so intensely.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
You're right. That is one of the best raffles known to man. Well, be safe out there. Make sure everybody is staying hydrated because you might be the most sober guy out there, which says a lot.
The only sober guy.
That's right. You may be the only one, so please make sure everybody stays safe, will you?
Have a good one.
Thank you, brother. Tom McKay, audiovisual consultations. That is the concern that I think is going to be, you know, you're going to need to be out there in terms of this 12-team playoff. Last year, there would have been two group of five teams in, but I think we all would have understood it. Cincinnati, look at their record, look who they played, look what they did. Coastal Carolina, look at their record, look who they played, look what they did. Yeah, okay, fine. But there are going to be years where that doesn't make sense. I'm all about expanding a playoff, but I've never, ever been about expanding a playoff for that UCF fan standing in the stands with a sign that says, "We want Bama." That's not why. Why do I want the playoff? Because of Jason Campbell and Auburn. That's why I want the playoff. Because an undefeated SEC champion got left out. That's why I want it. Because Baylor and TCU played a barn burner in Waco 1 year. And both of them were tough to deal with. And TCU stepped on people at the end of the season and busted their bowl game up. It was incredible. And neither of them got to play. Neither of them got to play. Why? Because a committee got together and made an argument for 1-2-3-4. Well, 1-2-3-4, this is clearly 1-2-3-4. Is it really? Okay. That team had to win 59-0 to get in. I know they won it all, but okay, I guess. So I'm really excited about the expanded playoff. I'll talk more about that with Kevin Dunn coming up. Kevin of the Triple Option and the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast coming up here at 12:30. Also, obviously, talking some Texas baseball with Kevin. Speaking of college baseball, Vanderbilt up 1-0 on East Carolina. The Super Regionals have begun. There are four games on tap today. If you're a Texas Tech fan, you probably know that you fire up at 2 o'clock our time against Stanford. A lot of red in that one out in Lubbock. You've got a 5 o'clock start for NC State and Arkansas and the Ole Miss-Arizona matchup out in Tucson. Ooh, man, the Rebels going to Tucson. That's got to be a fun time. Now, that is a party atmosphere. The Ole Miss fans going to Tucson. Walk up to a tailgate and ask what's going on out there. That's got to be fun. A lot of good red, white, and blue partying out there. All those games are going on today. We'll keep you updated on that and hopefully have fun today on the show. Now, how about these names coming in? I asked you for your artists that you discovered because of Austin. Bruce Robinson is one of those for me. I discovered Bruce because of Austin in my mind. So here comes some band names. Candlebox and the Scabs. That came from Tom McKay. Bob Schneider, which obviously would encompass the Scabs conversation. The Scabs again. Vallejo. Ian Moore. Oh, Ian Moore. I did love Ian back in the day. In fact, I saw Ian Moore. How about this? Speaking of back to normal, 2 years ago at the Rot Rally, my wife and I went out there to see Tom Kiefer of Cinderella. Ian Moore opened up, and it was fantastic. He played Jesus Crossed the Rio Grande. I almost passed out. It was great. Tomar and the FCs. I did not know that band, but fair enough. Oh, my God. This is a great one. How about SRV, Sundays at Maggie Mae's? I'm just going to let that one simmer for a while. Imagine, Sunday, you're just walking down 6th Street, step on into Maggie Mae's, Stevie Ray Vaughan's on stage. Anybody that's got that story, I can't beat that. I can't. I cannot do it. I like the way this one starts. I worked at the Texas Union with the drummer from Black Angels. Got to see Rocky Erickson play with them at Stubbs, both of those bands, and Daniel Johnston, Cause the Frog. All right. What else? Push Monkey has been mentioned as well. And somebody says maybe cliche, but Black Pumas. Black Pumas for me, says one of our listeners. For Trey, if he was here, he'd tell you it's probably Gary Clark Jr. He got to see Gary as a very young man in small clubs here in town when he was just getting started. So let me know who those people are for you. I got another sports, kind of sports-related question. We need to keep it going from yesterday, and I want to get John Reichel's thoughts on this because he loves music and sports too. But yesterday we threw out the idea, started talking about your favorite crowd experiences because it's all coming back. Watching college baseball. Texas is going to pack the dish. They've sold it out. Just imagine the dish tomorrow night at 8. Tomorrow night at 8, been drinking a little during the day. Coors Light, recommend. And that place is going to be incredible. But all the pops I'm starting to hear on NBA games, college baseball games. Heck, watching the, I told y'all, I got hooked on the softball World Series. I hate that Oklahoma won it. I was rooting for Florida State. But they packed that joint. Those fans were crazy in Oklahoma City. I love to hear it. So whether it's sports, whether it's a concert, whether it's a comedy show, give me your favorite crowd experiences. There is something magical about a crowd interacting with something. And we talked about some of those yesterday. We had some Longhorn games mentioned. We had concerts mentioned. One I didn't throw out, great example. Somebody said they saw a free show from Garth Brooks at, I think, Auditorium Shores one time, and they said every song was the sing-along. When that happens, and Garth's one of the leaders in that group. He's one of those. It's amazing how much the crowd wants to sing the songs back to him. Sometimes it annoys me as a music snob when that happens, but you can't help but get caught up in it sometimes. So maybe that's why your crowd experience was great. So let me know about those favorite crowd moments as well as we roll through the show today. 337-3776 is the Specs text line, and there's always a little extra room for you when one of us has the day off. Trey technically doesn't have the day off. He's working hard out at the Mullet Open. Up next, Kevin Dunn of the Triple Option talking Longhorn baseball and the expanded college football idea. Plus, in the crap bag at 12:45, if you love people hitting people like I do, I'll tell you about UFC 263. Don't move. This is the Horn. Oh, that is a nice, nice guitar there. All right, so somebody on our text line was talking about an early show at the Back Room back in the day with Pantera. That's who this sounds like. Is this Pantera?
Ding, your first question is correct.
Okay, so you're playing like a deeper track from Pantera.
That's right. And this album has a big hit on it.
A big hit.
And it's the same track number as this one, but it's on the A side.
Okay, so you're playing the beginning of the second side of this album.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to say this is, I'll say it's the first record and the hit is Cowboys from Hell.
Ring-a-ding-ding, you got it correct.
There we go, all right.
This track name is Heresy, and you're right, Cowboys Heresy from Hell is the hit of this album.
Man, that's,
I pitched you a softball with this first one.
I appreciate that. The sound they were creating right there was awesome. All right, hope you're having a good Friday. John's going to play a little A and B side stuff with me on the music. That will be fun. Also, the conversation's already started on the text line. The Specs text line, 337-3776. Couple questions, if you want. Your favorite crowd moments and the band or artist that you discovered because of Austin. We're getting some great answers on both of those. Somebody saw Rage at South Park Meadows. That had to be great. Again, early Pantera at the Back Room. That had to be awesome. Billy Joel, The Bridge Tour, 1987. A lot of people throwing in, let's see, what is this? Favorite crowd experience, Bette Midler, Radio City Music Hall. Radio City Music Hall curtain call was the Rose sung a cappella with the crowd. I bet that was something. That's very cool. And then somebody's just trying to be nice to me. Motorhead was always badass at the Back Room. Damn right they were. I guess I saw Motorhead three times, not counting that last show that only went three songs. All right, so let us know what you think there. We good to go with Mr. Dunn? Because he's got a story. He's got an image that I think he can paint for us that I can only imagine, but I love, it's one of my favorite stories of his. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. He is Kevin Dunn of the Triple Option and the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast. Be sure to check that out as well. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I would have nailed that Pantera question if you weren't going to get it.
I know. I'm sorry. I should have just gotten out of the way.
Yep.
All right. So before we get into the sports stuff, you I thought of one of your stories today when I came up with this question about your favorite crowd moments. I'm looking forward to, you know, the dish popping again and all the concerts and all the stuff. Try to tell the people about where, not just that you saw Pearl Jam, and you've seen Pearl Jam a lot, but that Pearl Jam Spain thing always really stuck out to me. What kind of scene was that?
It was unbelievable. It's San Sebastian, which is in the Basque region, the northern part. They don't consider themselves Spanish or French, and they're kind of in between there. More three-star Michelin restaurants per capita than any other place on earth.
Wow. It is my
favorite city I've ever been to. It's beautiful. You can surf. I mean, it's right on the water. It's incredible. But, yeah, I love Pearl Jam. And so, you know, we went up there and saw Pearl Jam there, and it was just amazing. The coolest thing was that, I mean, people speak English there, but there are a lot of people speaking Basque or Spanish, and they knew every word to every song. And, Pearl Jam came out, and they were at one point, Eddie was like, Mota, Mota, which is smoke.
Right.
And so it was surreal. There were times where I was just looking around and looking at the crowd and thinking, oh, my God, this is once in a lifetime. And it really was.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it, too. I think when you're in one of those crowd moments, you start to look at the crowd. That
yep.
sort of helps define it, right? Those moments for you, those moments at DKR, at the Dish, at, you know, at the Irwin Center, when you start to realize, oh, my God, this is a scene. It's not just a game. This is a scene now.
Yep, no doubt about it. I'm sure people were doing that at the Dish on Saturday because you could tell that was just one of those scenes, and I'm hoping we get that this weekend too.
All right, so set this up for me. You've followed college baseball for a long, long time. You've seen plenty. You've been to the Dish. You've seen that atmosphere a lot. Just in terms of this setup, who Texas is right now, how they're playing, and the team they are now facing in this Super Regional, do you ever remember a top national seed getting this kind of a grooved path to Omaha?
I mean, maybe Tennessee Tech, funny enough, a couple years ago. I think this is a more of a grooved path. I mean, I think this is – look, South Florida had a rough year. They're playing good baseball right now, and I think you got to remember the sport that it's not really what you've done, it's what you're doing right now. And – they're playing really good baseball, but, yeah, this is all set up for Texas to go. Texas really has no excuses to not make their 37th trip to Omaha.
From what we know, is Coach Pierce just going to, you know, not worry about any intricacies and go right back to the Ty Madden first plan, or is he going to keep it maybe switched with Tristan Stevens going tomorrow?
I think he was on B&E and told Aaron that, look, he's going to go with Ty Madden,
okay.
And he's going to kind of get back to that normal routine. You know, there's not as much thinking that goes into it because in a regional, there's a lot more thinking that goes into it because you think, okay, well, we've got three different teams, right? And we're going to have at least play two different teams. So how does it match up, especially considering we have a lefty? So is that going to work out well against the one lineup? You're only facing one team here, and you got to beat them twice. So when you've got essentially three aces, I think it sets up well. I've got no problem with him going with the All-American Ty Madden to start it off with. And you've got Tristan Stevens. And if you've got to win that thing on Monday, then you've got Pete Hansen.
Talking with Kevin Dunn here on the Horn. Of course, the triple option coming up at 3 o'clock. So in terms of where Texas is going into this, you've got they're sitting at number 2 overall. I know I've talked to you about what Arkansas looks like. Vanderbilt's playing right now, getting their series started with East Carolina. After seeing some of the other big dogs play, give me your thoughts on those teams. Is the fact that Arkansas got pushed to that elimination game, does that give you some confidence that maybe they're not completely unstoppable at that number one spot?
Yeah, look, they didn't play that well, especially for them. I mean, I watched them a lot throughout the year, and they looked unstoppable at times. But they didn't play well really the whole series for them. Now, they ended up getting through it, so that could change this weekend, and all of a sudden things start to click again, and they look like the team to beat. But Texas really looked like the team to beat. I watched Vanderbilt. I'm watching them right now. They're trailing 1-0 facing probably a top 3-round guy in Gavin Williams. But Vanderbilt also didn't look unstoppable. And the thing about Vanderbilt is, yeah, they got Kumar Rocker, who they're throwing tonight, and then Jack Leiter. But their third guy and the depth of their bullpen is a question. And that's not a question with Texas. Texas objectively look like the best team. They had an easy regional, too. I mean, you had an Arizona State club that came in that lost three starting pitchers and is just not playing good baseball. And Fairfield, you know, bless their heart, as my grandma would say.
Yeah.
They gave everything they could, and for them to get to the regional final, they obviously gassed out all their pitchers. They didn't have a lot of depth, and then Southern has really cool uniforms. That's what I'll say about them.
That was very nice. That was very nice of you. There was a whole time period where nice old ladies did a lot of blessing the hearts. I had grandmother's blessing hearts all through my childhood.
Yeah, and I'm not sure at one point at what age I realized how condescending that was. You know what I mean? That it really wasn't bless your heart. It was their way of kind of saying F you, but in a nice way.
Yeah, no, that was it. It was country charm is exactly what that was. Talking with Kevin Dunn. Hey, before I let you go, I definitely want to get your thoughts on this expanded college football playoff. I know it's a topic that's so close to your heart and mine and so many college fans. This 12-team expanded idea, I know you guys have been talking about it on y'all's show. Biggest concern for you right now, or maybe the thing you love the most?
Biggest concern is that it just takes away from the regular season. I mean, it just does. If that should be pretty easy to explain to people. All that means is that a really important game in November that we used to treat, us big college football fans that got it, used to treat as a playoff game, won't be a playoff game anymore. The good thing is it's going to add more teams in, and we'll see how that works out. I've told you for years that I think six is the way to go, and then maybe go to eight. The other thing, too, is the motive. They're not going to 12 to help college football. They're going to 12 because of money, and so I never trust their motives. I'll watch either way. It's a great product. I'll enjoy it either way.
Yeah, I was really concerned about 12. Like, I was sort of with you where we've talked about this plenty of times where I'm thinking, oh, you know, six. My OCD says you kind of need six slots if you respect six things, the Power Fives and Notre Dame. But then I'm like, okay, maybe eight, but 12 to go right to double that six. They are really trying to make everybody happy at the same time. That might be my concern on this thing.
Yeah, well, I think they're pitching it that way. At the end of the day, they're whores, and we all know that. This is about money. I mean, you know, I trust the government as much as I trust the people making those decisions.
Would you also, I thought of you when I saw this, the wording of this was careful to me and it bothered me. When they say the top six ranked conference champions, that concerns me because, Kevin, are they telling me that if five conference champions are, you know, Power Five champs and they're up there in the top 12, but then like UCF wins their conference, but they're ranked 18th in the country, they still get in because they're the next highest ranked conference champion?
Great point, Chad. It's a really good point. And that's kind of the things that I think maybe people are glossing over. Look, we're going to get to some of those situations that aren't going to make sense. And so, yeah, I mean, if you just told me that we're taking the top 12, then I'd be cool with that. In a lot of years, I'd probably be seven SEC teams. But if we're going to do top 12, let's do the top 12. So, yeah, I think there's going to be some situations like that where everyone gets a trophy, no pun intended, and then all of a sudden it's you just think, well, why the hell is that team in?
Yeah, everyone. Yeah, it's like I said it earlier, you've known for a long time that I'd like to expand this thing, but not once did I ever tell you that UCF was the reason. Never. No. I was never talking about those teams. I don't care about them.
No, and the reality, too, is that if you look at it, we have Ohio State that one year, but, I mean, and you can certainly throw Notre Dame into this list. The four seeds, it feels like we didn't need to expand because the four seeds weren't doing very much against one seed. I think there's a bigger issue with college football about parity or about competitive balance with the top three or four teams, or really the top three teams. And so hopefully we get to a point, and maybe this will help that out, you know, that we get to a point where there does feel like there's actually six or seven teams that can win it all.
That is Kevin Dunn. Check out the Triple Option this afternoon. Also get to our podcast page and check out the EGAT podcast. Everyone gets a trophy. Paul was in live the last couple of weeks getting that thing recorded and working his way around the building here. Kevin, always good to talk to you, sir. Best of luck. I'll say best of luck to your Longhorns, even though I'm not sure they're going to need it.
You know what? I'll take it either way. I'm pretty excited about it. And it's matched up to where Texas will play Notre Dame. So I'm going to be rooting for Notre Dame this weekend and hopefully not rooting for them next weekend.
Oh, that's right. You could be like a nervous father next weekend, huh?
yeah, a nervous father who likes both of his kids, but loves one a hell of a lot more.
Why is his college plan better? No, don't look at that. That's okay. That's all right. No big deal. Good to talk to you, brother. I'll see you in a little bit.
Brother, have a good trip.
Kevin Dunn, ladies and gentlemen, the triple option, and everyone gets a trophy. See, I told you there'd be concerns about those 12 spots in the playoff. As we were talking, somebody texted in, 12 is stupid. Go to 8. Some people are in that that category, too. And since Kevin mentioned Pearl Jam in San Sebastian, Spain, I'll throw this one in from Greg, one of our listeners. Now you're just bragging. The Rolling Stones in Rio de Janeiro. Pardon me. Rio de Janeiro at Maracana Stadium. They had speech. Wait, what? They had speech energy? Late 90s? I'm not sure exactly what that means. But it sounds good. Stones in Rio. I've had some good crowd experience with the Stones, but mine are all in the state of Texas. Mine are all Dallas, San Antonio, and I think that's it. Dallas, San Antonio. Did I ever see? No, I never saw the Stones in Houston. It was only those two places. So there's a great show here in Austin that I've seen the DVD of, but I wasn't able to go to the show. That one was very, very good. So your best crowd moments, also the band or artist that you discovered because of Austin. We're throwing all that around today. Up next, the crap bag. UFC 263 comes up. Couple of belts on the line. I'll tell you about that. We got some birthdays to hit today. And coming up at 1, more Texas baseball conversation and a new gig coming up for Dustin McComas. We talk to him every Friday. He'll tell you about that new gig coming up and what it was, what it took to get him to leave Orange Bloods. That's coming up on the Horn. Is it just me or did the beginning of that song kind of sound like Tush by ZZ Top?
It kind of had that vibe.
Didn't it?
And then as soon as the singers started singing,
I got that. All right, so this is obviously Motorhead.
That's an easy one. That's right? The easy part.
Motorhead, and this is No Class?
Hey, you got that right. So what is?
The song is No Class, so this is from the B-side of the album. You're asking me what the hit of this record is.
Yeah, the hit on the A-side, that's right.
Wow, No Class. That's way back, Motorhead. I'm just going to not think and say Ace of Spades.
Wrong. Ah, you're doing so good.
Dadgummit.
It's Overkill.
Overkill is
this
the
is
hit.
From the album Overkill.
All right, there you go. A's and B's from John today. No bad. That's long. Listen to that voice. There wasn't near as much whiskey in him.
Yet, no.
As it would have been in the 80s and 90s. Rest in peace to Lemmy. That's some great crowd stuff I've been a part of. I saw the Motorhead at the back room, and I kind of got caught up at the, I was at the very, right up against the stage, so it's one of those where I'm not in the mosh pit, but I'm being pushed up against kind of the stage. At one point, the security guy goes to jump off the stage to deal with the mosh pit behind me. His entire left index finger went in my eye.
Oh,
and it's the room's full of smoke and all that stuff. I literally watched. I can still remember the Motorhead song it happened during every time I hear. But I literally watched like the next 4 songs with one eye closed because it was terrible.
All that atmosphere, all the sweat and smoke. It's probably still in your eye to this day.
But I'll never forget it because it was one of those great crowd moments. A lot of people throwing in some good stuff today on the text line, 337-3776. I'll get a couple of Johns here in a second, but our listeners are throwing in Fishbone at Liberty Lunch in 94. That had to be a show.
Oh, 90s Fishbone? That would be a good time.
Crowd moment says, actually, it was ACL seeing Tom Petty in a heavy drizzle, and they start performing Free Fallin'. Everybody singing along, arms up in the air, people, some people on other shoulders. It was pretty cool. That's a great song. Great song for the crowd to get into. Had to be really cool. Somebody says, for sports, the year Trey Young came to the Irwin Center, and Texas clearly was going to beat Oklahoma, and the whole crowd started cheering. OU sucks. And one for all of you, if you're a metalhead like me, this says, I saw Megadeth at Liberty Lunch. Let me stop a second and imagine Megadeth at Liberty Lunch on 2nd Street in 1985, touring the first album. Killing is my business, and business is good. That had to be a show. Dave and the crew. I've seen Joe Ely at Liberty Lunch. I've seen Buddy Guy at Liberty Lunch, but I have not seen Megadeth at Liberty Lunch. All right, John, so what do you got? Give me a crowd moment for you, some of your favorite crowd moments.
All right, got a couple, but I'll start you off with this one. I saw Paul McCartney at Safeco Field.
Oh, that had to be cool.
That was awesome, but the crowd moment happened after his probably second encore. Mm-hmm. He came on stage, and he brought Dave Grohl and the remaining members of Nirvana with him.
Nice.
And they played a cover version together of Helter Skelter.
Ugh.
And the crowd was just loving it.
Dude,
Dave Grohl
so
and Paul
cool.
McCartney duet. That was awesome.
I have never seen anything like that in an encore that was like a surprise guest.
Yeah, that was awesome. No one knew who it was, but they were like, oh, there's going to be someone else here. It's like, who's going to be?
That's awesome.
Dave Grohl, that was great.
Oh, that's good. That is good stuff. And you also told me during the break, you used to go to a lot of punk shows.
That's right,
so
yeah.
You've been in punk mosh pits before?
Oh, of course, yeah. I've been in a couple. I got, the best memory I had of that was one of the shows, I got thrown into a wall. Drywall wall.
They threw you through the wall?
Yeah, they were getting rowdy, and they pushed me too hard, and there was no one covering the wall, and I went right into it.
Dang. And did you just keep going?
No, I didn't go through the wall, thank goodness.
No. Did you keep moshing? I mean, did you just stay in the pit?
I got into it. I took a break, got a beer, and then, you know, went on.
I took a break.
Took a nice breather. Took five.
Punk rock Reichel. I like it. Mm-hmm. So give us some of your best crowd moments, whether you got thrown into a wall or not. You can give us those stories. All right, let me get you a little people punching people, you know, where everybody agrees to it. Not like John, where he was like getting thrown through a wall. Let's talk a little UFC here in the crap bag.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. When Trey's not around, I do like to try to talk some UFC because he's not into UFC. I know a lot of you aren't, so I appreciate you humoring me on this. But for those of you that do love your UFC, you already know two belts are on the line tomorrow night. This is a UFC fans kind of card, not really a transcendent card, except for maybe one name. 185 belt, this is the one that, Anderson Silva used to control. Israel Adesanya, the last style bender. He's had two defenses, went up to heavyweight, lost a fight. Now he's back down. Marvin Vettori, they had a fight back in 2018. I'll admit, I don't remember the fight specifically. It was a split decision win for Adesanya, so he's going to try to keep his belt. That's the main fight. Co-main is the rematch of a hell of a fight between Davidson Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. If you have a buddy that's paying for this and you can peek in on it and you just want to see a good fight, this could be something. It was a majority draw last time. The only reason it was a draw is that the champ was called for a low blow. An inadvertent kick to the groin, so he got a point taken away. That's why it ended up as a draw. But Davidson Figueiredo is a badass at 125. He's had a defense. Brandon Moreno's really good. That's a hell of a fight waiting to happen. Now, to be honest, it kind of falls apart after that. But Nate Diaz is on the card. You might know that name. Nate, of course, Nate and Nick, the brothers from Sacramento. Who would have fought Conor McGregor, got a win against Conor, and then lost to him. Nate is fighting in the third fight. It is ESPN Plus tomorrow night at 9. But outside of those, you got to be a hardcore fan to really get into it. All right, so as far as birthdays go and some anniversaries, if you will, how about these for anniversaries? 6 years ago today, Austin lost one of its greats and certainly lost one of the greats from the world of professional wrestling, the legendary Dusty Rhodes. The American Dream died on this day 6 years ago. Still makes me sad to think about. It is still to this day my crowning achievement in interviewing. I don't care what anybody says. I got an interview with Dusty Rhodes. I asked a question where he said, most people your age would not have the guts to ask me that question. And it was like the highlight of my whole life. It was awesome. Love Dusty Rhodes. Shout out to Dustin, who I know lives in the area and is friends with our guy, Suplex Stu. So rest in peace to the great American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Also today in 1997, Michael Jordan had the flu game, which now we found out because of Last Dance is the pizza game. Either way, the bad pizza, the flu, whatever it was, Michael Jordan had an incredible performance. And let me throw out those birthdays one more time. I mentioned earlier, Bruce Robinson has a birthday today, one of my favorite singer-songwriters ever, and definitely my favorite artist that I discovered because of Austin. Austin kind of led me to Bruce, and I absolutely love him. Hope he and Kelly and the family are doing well today. They are my Johnny in June. He is 55 years old today. And tomorrow, our man Mark Henry hits the 5-0. Are you kidding me? The world's strongest man with a big birthday tomorrow. Mark, I hope you're doing well. Best of luck in everything that you've got going on. I hope AEW goes well for you. In fact, Mark Henry, if you're out there listening, I got my DVR set to record AEW because of you. It's just you. I've been a Raw guy forever. Still have Raw recording. I am toying with the idea of watching two wrestling shows a week because of you, Mark Henry. Because of you. I just want you to know that's how special you are to me. Also, speaking of special and broadcasting, how about Marv Albert with an 80th birthday coming tomorrow? This is his last run after the Eastern Conference Finals. Marv is done. It will be over for him as a broadcaster. He is one of the best of our lifetime. And happy birthday to Marv tomorrow. Also, in the basketball world, let me give her some love. Diana Taurasi's 39 years old today. Outside of the Texas players or Big 12 players that I got to cover when I was doing women's basketball games, there are two players that I consider myself lucky to have been able to see live and call their games live. One of them is Candace Parker at Tennessee, and one of them is Diana Taurasi at UConn. Now, I wish she had sucked that night because it was in the Final Four, and Texas had a lead with like 6 minutes to go. But it didn't matter, because Diana Taurasi was a badass back in 03, and they did come back, and they did beat Texas, but she was so impressive to watch right there at courtside. So happy birthday to Diana Taurasi. Of course, she's still in the WNBA now, a multiple champion. I want to say she's got a couple titles in the WNBA as well. 39 years old for Diana Taurasi today. All right, coming up next, it is Dustin McComas of Orange Bloods, but he also has a new gig coming up. He will tell you about Five Tool and what he's going to be doing moving forward, but we know what he's going to be doing in the immediate future, and that is following Texas baseball. We'll get his breakdown on Texas and South Florida. Don't move. It's the Horn.